Well, sure, it's a work of art, but you can't distinguish between the work of art and the subject that easily, particularly when the subject was so controversial and responsible for so many millions of people's deaths in Asia. And that's really why we think it's a very bizarre decision when the eyes of the world are on Britain and on London that the council should agree to this particular sub-sculpture.
John Mann, do you think that Genghis Khan has any place on the streets of London?
It's a strange decision, but I think quite an interesting one, because Genghis came from nowhere and created the world's biggest land empire. And his grandson, Kublai Khan, doubled it again, making it even greater.
He killed an awful lot of people.
There was a great deal of ruthlessness involved. He was very much for his own people and against others. But this was strategy as much as much more than racial intolerance.
Paul de Moldenberg, anybody who's been to London, particularly around Westminster and Parliament Square, will know that there are lots and lots of statues. Lots of them are of generals, former military men, many of them on horseback. They've all killed quite a lot of people as well, haven't they?
Yeah, and if you go to Parliament Square, you'll see a statue of Nelson Mandela, you'll see a statue of Abraham Lincoln, two men who we are very happy and proud to commemorate because of the good that they did.
But my point really is that decisions that are made about which men have themselves immortalised in statues in London aren't necessarily made on political grounds.
No, and the statues are of their time. Many of those statues that are in Parliament Square were erected a few years after the deaths of those generals, those parliamentarians, who were involved in war. And, of course, they reflect the times and the views of people. But we're not talking about that here with Genghis Khan. We're talking about a man who was born 850 years ago, many thousands of miles away, and has no connection whatsoever with this country.
John Mann, do you say that Genghis Khan has had a bad press? I mean, the reputation that he has of this bloodthirsty mass murderer, is it unfair?
It's not fair because it's only half the story. The other half is superb leadership and historical significance. And it's due to Genghis that China has, for instance, its modern borders. This is not widely known, but the vision that Genghis had of world conquest, batty though it was inherited by his grandson, Kublai Khan, who created modern China. So there is huge historical significance.
Paul de Moldenberg, it's part of the purpose of art, isn't it, to make us think again about the world in which we live and to think about people and events of the past. I mean, in that sense, I suppose this statue's already succeeded.
Indeed,
we're here this afternoon talking about it,
yes. And in that respect, it's been a success. But I still believe that it's a strange decision when there are so many other